But God has a way of communicating with me through nature and through his creation that allows me to really develop a new level of sensitivity and a new awareness of him and of the needs of others. Now, many of you have met a very special friend to us. And well, this week, Lou and I, well, we had to bury our friend. I can't imagine why this affects me like this. There's no way to describe how I feel, and yet there's no logical reason why it would be this way, but it is. But we had to put Barney to sleep. Now, for those of you that don't know, Barney's our dog, and he was named Barnabas because he's our friend. The word Barnabas means friend. And Barnabas was a real co-laborer. That's a real friend, a companion. I understand in his passing more than ever before what it means when they say that a dog is man's best friend. And some of you would say, well, a dog is an animal. You know, you see him on the side of the road, you run over him, you don't even think twice, you don't even look back. Others would say, well, a dog, well, they have their purpose. They're a watchdog. They keep the stuff away. They're good for hunting. They go out, you whip them into shape, you take them out of their cage, and you turn them loose. They hunt, and they go back home. And I accept that if that's what you've grown up to understand. But you see, an animal is much more than that. I had a pet. I had a beagle. I started out that way. I grew up in a family where my dad wasn't close, and we didn't have much of a friendship relationship. And so I had a dog. His name was Rex. Boy, I wanted a dog so bad, and Dad let me get him. I was pretty young at the time, but I promised, you know how it is, you got to take care of the dog. Well, I promised, and I did take care of the dog, and that was the beginning of relationship with pets. But I have never had a pet like Barney, because I never learned as much from an animal as I have from him about the Lord, about God's ways with us, his nature, his character. Barney lived in the house. He was a friend of the kids. Aaron and Andrew and Amy picked him out. I still remember the day. He was a little bitty puppy. He was the runt of the litter. We all had compassion on the runt, the underdog, so we said, we'll take him. We took him home. We took care of him. We raised him, and we taught him. We shared our life with him. The boys let him sleep in bed with him. Mom put up with it, you know. Let me say something about all that, too. You know, animals make a mess. They get your house dirty. But whether it's a pet or whether it's your kid, whether it's my son Andrew tearing up our front yard playing golf, hey, these are the footprints of people's lives that you've been blessed with. So let them track up your house with their footprints, whatever those prints might be, and whatever form they might take. Because we're talking here about the interaction of life and things. We should take care of our things. You know, I don't like the fact that my son Aaron did all of his artwork in our basement in our $48 square yard, which thank God we didn't have to pay that much for. Carpet got ruined by paint spots, but I can look at the spots and I say, my son was here. My son did his art in my basement. I'm trying to show y'all something about the Father today and his heart for you. Hear me on this. Don't hear me about a dog. He may mean nothing to you, but I'm talking to you about Father God and how he feels about you and what his heart cry is for you and how deeply he longs to put his arms of love around you and just squeeze the pain right out of you and pour into you the depths of his loving kindness and his goodness and mercy that which will last you all your life. I began to sense a couple of weeks ago that Barney's time was near. God has a way of preparing us for everything if we'll let him. And if we'll see God in all things and talk to him about everything, he'll work us through them, every one. And a couple of weeks ago, I began to sense that he was going down this time. It was different than before. You know, I've told you some of his miracle stories. I mean, we prayed him through some things. God's shown us ways to treat him and medications for him and herbs and, I mean, all kind of things. But God got him through those things. I mean, he's been healed about 10 or 15 times or through medications and herbs. God's just restored him to health. When doctors said there was no hope and wrote him off over and over again, he came back. But it wasn't the same this time. I knew there was something different. I didn't have in me the faith to carry it through. And I add into this because, you see, there's a great parallel between Barney and Taylor Davis. And every time something happens to Barney, I feel something's going on with Taylor. There's a connection there. It's uncanny how there is such a parallel between the two. And as soon as this starts happening with Barney, I'm really into Taylor. I'm just thinking about him and praying about him day and night. I wake him at night thinking and praying for Taylor, you know? And so on this particular day, which was earlier this past week, Barney just stopped. He stopped eating completely. He had been cutting back, but this time it was nothing. No, there was not one type of food I could give him that roused his interest. It's like his sense of smell was gone, his taste was gone. And then on Wednesday, he stopped drinking. Well, I know then this is definitely serious. I can't get him to eat. I can't get him to drink. I'd been giving him these herbs. He had a prostate the size of a baseball, and it had gotten down to the size of a golf ball or smaller. Now, that's a miracle in itself. It shrunk down, and it was no longer obstructing his bowel movements. I mean, there was no problem there, but I couldn't get any more medication down him. His other problems were his kidneys or a failure. That had happened 2 years ago, and God healed him, and that was back. And so I knew the end is near. I told Lou, I said, I think we need to consider putting him to sleep. He's going to start suffering. He's not eating. And then that night I heard him yelping and crying. I went down to check on him. He got okay. I went back up. The next night he started again. This time I sensed I needed to just stay down with him. So here I am on the floor of our dining room with the dog. And that may sound weird, but I mean, I'm there with my dog. You know, he's my dog. He's the one that's been special to me. He's the one that loved me and accepted me unconditionally. Can you think about that? Animals do, you know. I mean, you can punish them. You can hurt them, accidentally step on them, you know, whatever. They just keep coming back for more because that's all they know how to do is love and be loved. See, and so here he was coming back for more. So I'm there on the floor and I'm petting him. And Barney really understands the Lord's presence. There's the way in which God ministers to animals. If he knows the sparrow that falls to the ground, he attends to the needs of his creation. So I'd be petting Barney and say, peace in Jesus' name. And I'd be praying over him. And he'd just relax and stop yelping and whining and just get real quiet. He went right to sleep. And so I slept on the floor all night with Barney. Woke up the next morning and he seemed better, and I had some real hope, and took him outside, and he was able to go to the bathroom a little bit. I had to carry him out by now. The stage is he's so weak, he can't go on. Got him out there, and then he wandered over and crawled under one of our big bushes, and I thought, you know, he just wants to be out here, and this may be his time. And so I told Lou, I said, let's just let him stay out there under the bush, and he couldn't even move. He was so weak, he just collapsed right there. And so we left him, and I thought, well, okay. This is good. The Lord's going to take him home out here. He likes the outdoors. He loves the outdoors. That'll be the end for Barney. Now, follow me. We're not talking just about a dog here. We are not talking just about a dog here. So I'm back in the house, and then Luke got ready to leave to go take some mail, and she went out and said, you know, Barney's over by the side of the house, and he's panting and breathing heavy, and I don't know. You better come check. So I came down immediately, got him, carried him in, and his heartbeat was irregular. His breathing was erratic. I mean, it looked to me like he was having a heart attack. We put the fan on him, tried to put some ice in his mouth. It's like his mouth was froze shut. He had lockjaw or something. And so I'm praying, but his eyes are glazed over and he's out of it, basically. So I said, we've got to take him. We've got to take him now. So we took him down to the vet, and they gave him a shot or something or other. You know, I didn't know what euthanasia meant, but it means good death. Now, okay, I'm not promoting that for us as humans. I don't know where I'm even there on that anymore, you know, but I'm just saying I want everybody to have a good death. But I know that it was right and time for Barney. And God gave us authority over Barney, and that means that it was up to us to decide what was best for him. In our estimation, it was best for him to go this way and to go now. And so we let him go. Actually, the night before, I should tell you, I prayed, and the Lord showed me it was time to release him. So I said, Lord, I give Barney up to you. And I told Barney, Barney, you can go now. We let you go. Do you say, what, talking to a dog like this? Well, hey, he's my friend, okay? So I'm talking to Barney like that. I'm praying to the Lord and talking to him like this. And so we released Barney to the Lord. So he ate, and he went. But you know how he went? It was beautiful. He said, okay, don't be melodramatic. Hey, I'm going to be real. Okay, to me, it was beautiful. This is how he went. They gave him this injection, and he went to sleep. And he began to do his trademark. He began to snore. Dale knows about Barney's snore. He began to snore. And then the vet, who's really a special person, says, he's at peace now. He's at peace now. And then a few moments later, and we knew it was over. He was gone. We took him out back, and they said, where are we going to bury him? I said, well, we're burying back where he always did his business, and we always got tangled up around the trees, but also where I taught him how to untangle himself. You know, I could talk to Barney, and I'd say, Barney, go back. And he would unwrap himself around a tree. And I'd say, go back. And then he'd go the wrong way, and I'd say, no, stay, go back. And I'd move my hand, and he'd watch me, and he'd go wherever I showed him, and he would unwrap himself around a tree. So that was his spot, and that's where we buried him. But as I was burying Barney, many thoughts came back to my mind. The loss of my mother, the grief I felt there, the depth of sadness, others that we've lost in our lives, losses and griefs. We love, and in the loving, there's a risk. Randy and I were talking about that, and a friend is someone he's related to, somebody or somebody. They said, you know, I had this you know, I lost a family member and then I lost my dog and I'm never going to have a pet again because it's just too painful. Yes, it is. It's painful to lose my mother. It's painful to lose our dog. These are painful moments. But compare that intense pain to the expanse of 13 wonderful years. Well, in the case of my mother, 67 beautiful years that she lived. And you begin to see that the pain of a loss is minimal compared to the depth of the joy of that span of time you had together and you were able to share. And there's the beauty of light when you can enjoy those times together. And then to learn the lessons of life that we learn through Barney as God would heal me and God would say, you know, I care about all my creation and I surely care about you. And as I would watch him and see him relate to us and how he would respond and the different things that reminded us of him. And God would say, that's the way I feel toward you. And he would say, he said to me, as much as you loved him, so much I love you and more. And as much as you care about him and agonize for what he's going through, so much so I agonize when you go through your things. And I feel in this with you. And so now you see, I have a depth of feeling that allows my heart to go out to Karis and her loss and to you and your losses. And I feel another dimension, the human suffering and anguish. This morning, as Lou and I were on the deck talking, she said, it reminds me that she saw me there crying on the phone with my friend Bob Reinhart. Many of you have heard Bob share. He's one of our board members. And I called him this morning. I said, Bob, I need your help. And I just began to cry. I said, I don't think I can make it. I said, I've got to have some prayer. I need some people to stand with me. I know I'm supposed to come today and share and preach and be a part of the church today. But and he said, I'm going to pray. And he just started praying. It was a beautiful prayer. It ministered to me. Lou was there, you know, and she was comforting me and I'm just boo-hooing. I mean, And after the conversation on the phone and the prayer with Bob, and in the prayer, he said, you know, he said, Lord, I really believe you're going to let Louis share out of what he's going through because this is real. This is him. This is what you're doing in his life and what you're showing him about life. And we all need to know these things and understand these things because, listen, part of what I'm feeling in this is my wife laid out on the road in Bermuda, and I know she was dead for several minutes. I felt she was gone in 1996. She's back, but I'm telling you, there's a great unknown out there. We know what God's word says about life and death. We know all the truths of Scripture. We can rattle off the doctrines, the theologies, the facts, but there is another dimension here that we've got to get in touch with because we're all going there and family and friends are too. And as we get older, my dad's 78 and his friends are dropping like flies all around him and he's hurting through that. And we're all in that stage. We're moving toward the end. But as my good friend Charles said, you know, but death is God's plan to get us to the other side to him. And so he allows us through things like animals to begin to understand how to relate as humans and how to look forward to what he has for us on the other side. There is another place. Even the vet giving our dog a shot said, we've come to realize death is not the worst thing. And there are other things beyond this. And the other things are the Lord and a place called heaven prepared for us because of the person Christ who is there for us. God the Father waiting for us and a new life available to us for all eternity, world without sorrow, without pain. And as my son says, Dad, I don't understand. If God's so wonderful, why did he make the world so crummy? I said, because son, this is a passing through place. This is not our resting place. This is not our final stop. This is just a place we're going through to get to the other side, to be with him forever. And if it was really, 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 really great, who would want to leave here? Because we'd already have heaven here. We can enjoy heaven in our heart, to be sure. But there's nothing like what's there waiting for us. So there, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And Lou looked at me and said, I see how you love Barney. And I see how God loves us and the depth of that love. And the words prior to that, when the Jews therefore saw her weeping, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, Jesus groaned in the spirit. I was troubled. And whatever pain and suffering you have been through and are going through, and some of what you have been through in the past, you're still going through, you're just not aware of it because you haven't ever got over it. You've never gotten through it. It's still hanging on you like bad, bad baggage. And God's saying, I'm the burden bearer. Let me lift the load and let me get that junk off of you. Well, he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. And I'm telling you, we have one who's been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's here with us. He's going through this thing in us, and he's going to carry us through it. Whatever it is you might have gone through, are going through, and or will go through. So that cuts the edge of the fear and the trauma off of this. Because listen, I'm sitting here thinking, if I feel like this about a dog, how can I handle it if Lou actually does go? And if she goes before me, let me put it that way, because she will go. But it's a matter of who goes first. And so, you know, and actually me being the weakling of the bunch, I'm saying I want to go first. Because, I mean, I can't imagine being without her. And so Jesus wants us to see there is a dimension of life that's real beyond doctrines and facts and information and knowledge. It's a personal, intimate relationship with him, whereby we get into the depth and dimension of his person, and we allow him to invigorate us with life and life more abundantly in this present hour of tragedy and trauma we go through. And Jesus asked, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus wept. We talk about Jesus wept, but he did weep. It wasn't a show. It was the depth of emotion of a fully formed person within a person. It was divinity clothed in humanity, and he wept. He wept as God for his people, and he wept for the fact that he as a person was identifying with humanity. And he wept. He feels your pain, not from a distance, but in this flesh and blood body you live in. He has agonized through it on Calvary's cross, and he agonizes through it within you as you go through this present hour of whatever it might be, or whatever it will be out there. And so again, I say it takes the edge off the fears or the concerns about what is going to be out there and what's going to happen as I get older and as my body breaks down or wears out, or as I end up like Taylor Davis, God forbid, or whomever, you know, that has gone through a long, drawn-out span of illness after illness after illness, but God will see you through. And Taylor can attest to that on his better days. And then there are the other days when, you know, he, like all of us, is just under the pile. And that's part of humanness, too. And even when you want to curse God and die, that's part of humanity. And thank God he understands all those human emotions. He doesn't fault us, not for one single one of them. So in light of that, he's saying to us today, be open and honest. Share your heart. Live your life. Live it to the full. Don't hold back. Don't wall yourself off. Don't rob yourself of living life as God intends it to be. You can never truly live until you're fully loved. And to love means you give yourself to others. To love means you pour yourself in others. To love means you risk being hurt by others. You risk the loss of a pet or whatever it might be. But in that giving, there is a receiving that comes back. And most of all, in the giving of yourself to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, there's the receiving of his eternal life and the entering in to life everlasting. You give, he gives back.